Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas. Joe Gillo, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. The gloves are off. Back to normal in here. Just with plant-based Hugh telling us we don't need to score a lot in the first quarter on Sunday.
They don't.
It'd be nice.
It'd definitely be nice.
Well, now, obviously, things have changed a little bit after last night. Let's go over the scenarios, Hugh. So, we were dealt a blow. If the goal is the number one overall seed and a bye and home field advantage. Last night, not a great outcome, Hugh Douglas.
No, not the one we wanted. Not the one that we thought was going to happen. Yeah, it was a little unfortunate.
So, the Lions win last night, 34-31. And they now are 12-1. Eagles at 10-2. So, here is the only chance we now have at the number one seed is the Lions have to lose two of their last four games. And while I don't think it's impossible,
it's a daunting task.
Yeah, I thought last night was the night for them to lose. They had all those starters out on defense. Some of those guys will come back. The Packers are good. So it's probably unlikely. Not impossible, but unlikely. Eagles obviously have to keep winning here and putting pressure on them. So I'm going to give you now, Hugh, the chances, the odds, the percentages for the number one seed in the NFC. You ready for this?
I'm listening.
All right, the Eagles currently hold now a 15.3% chance to have the number one overall seed. Detroit holds a 79.7% chance. The Eagles are their most likely outcome here is 81.9% chance to have the number two seed. So that is, if we're to play this out, the most likely thing after last night is the Eagles to be the number two seed, Detroit to be number one. That being said, it doesn't mean the Eagles can't beat Detroit. Tony Gonzalez, after the game last night in Detroit on Amazon, said this about the top of the NFC.
Beginning of the show, talk in pregame, talked about how you thought the Eagles were better than the Lions. After what you saw tonight, are you willing to say that the Lions are better than the Eagles?
I'm still sticking to it. And the reason, here's the reason why. In the second half, you saw the Packers were able to go up and down the field, throwing the ball a little bit. Even though Jared Goff didn't throw that much, he had success. And I got to believe this 25th-ranked defense from the Detroit Lions, that is their weakness right now against the pass. And that's where someone like A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, I think they'll be able to take advantage of that secondary.
So two things hit me from Tony Gonzalez there. By the way, how about Tony Gonzalez playing the heel in front of the Lions crowd as they're chanting?
The heel.
He's saying, no, Eagles are still better. But did you hear how he framed why he thought the Eagles could have success? He said the weakness of the Lions is their pass defense right now.
They could be had.
A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith. But like the thing that's interesting about that is we've become a running team. But he's kind of framing it. If the two teams play, he didn't say his name, but he basically said Jalen's arm's going to have to go beat Detroit. That's the way he framed the matchup.
Yeah, and you talk about the physicality of A.J. That's a tough matchup. Amon-Ra St. Brown is a good receiver.
Mm-hmm, very good.
But, boy, when you're not used to going up against a big-ass receiver like A.J., A.J. got he about big as a safety or a linebacker. You know what I mean? And you're not used to seeing that on a day-to-day basis. And that physicality comes into it, that could be somewhat of a problem for the Detroit Lions. You know, that could be a real problem. And I know we're projecting. We got like, what, 4 or 5 weeks away from that potentially happening. A lot's going to change for the Detroit Lions if that is the case. But, yeah, that's the matchup that you like, that secondary against the physicality of our number one receiver.
But does that mean we got to throw the ball to beat the Lions, not run it?
When you say throw the ball, Joe, I feel like you mean...
Well,
you
that's
know,
what he said. He said the way to beat them is to throw it.
Batten down the hatchets and throw it deep. Those slants work, too, and
but
let AJ work the field.
Yeah. If we play them, Jalen might have to throw it 35 times to win the game. And that we haven't seen in a long time. I'm not saying he's not capable. Just It would be a change in the way we play, right? Mm-hmm. We haven't done that in 2 months.
Well, I think the passing game is still there, but I don't think it's to the level that I feel that you're trying to say. I feel like you think that we're going to go into a game like this.
Well, that's what he said. I'm basing it on Tony Gonzalez. He said last night he thinks the Eagles can match up with them, and he referenced the passing game of the Eagles.
Yeah, but
I don't feel
like he meant that. To me, I didn't take it. And it's all interpretation here. I didn't take it as he was saying the passing game had to lead the way for the Eagles to have success.
Well, he said it.
I didn't interpret it that way. When you say he said it, he said the receivers are going to have to take advantage of the situation.
Yeah.
That doesn't, to me, that doesn't say that the passing game is leading the way, though. That doesn't say that to me.
Well, okay, maybe we just heard it different. I mean, because everyone else is talking about the Eagles as if their running game leads the way. He said the way to beat Detroit is throwing the ball. So, like, that makes me, I can't wait. I think we're getting the matchup. I've been saying this for a month now. That's going to be the title game. So how we look heading in there and can we score early is a big thing. 215-592-9494. All right, back to the phone lines here. We'll get to a Q&A coming up. Brian is up next on WIP. Hey, Brian.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good, Brian. What's up?
Hey, first off, about a quick start, because I have something to say about the Saquon thing now after listening to Hughes waffle there big time. And
what did he waffle on?
Wait a minute, before you go into that, what did I waffle on, Brian?
You poured syrup all over the waffle.
No,
before you
we know what a waffle is, Brian. Listen, calm down, Brian. I know what a waffle is. Tell me, how did I waffle?
You're right. You didn't waffle because at the end you specified that you didn't waffle. But before you said that, Brian, that was a waffle.
Okay, but, Brian, so I'm asking you, like Brian, this is how this works. If I'm accused of something, allow me the opportunity to defend myself. So I ask again, how did I waffle? What did I waffle on, Brian?
Because it sounded like you were adamant at first that you don't play Saquon at all. But then as you thought about it, Brian,
let me help you out. I painted a picture. I never said, I told you what I would do if it was me, and I told you earlier in the week that I wouldn't play. But I also painted a picture where I was trying to paint a picture of how Saquon potentially feels about this. So in essence, Brian, that wasn't a waffle. That was me telling a story, being a storyteller.
I mean, the way I viewed it was just different sides of the same coin, right?
Yes.
There's Hughes, like, a take on it, and then there's, like, well, I got to also factor in what the players might want. That's the way I viewed it.
Well, honestly, my first take was you don't play him at all. But then, honestly, after listening to you, I waffled on myself. Because you think about it, there is a safe way. If he's 50 yards away, there's a safe way to let him attempt to do that. You don't get him out there throwing him a bubble screen where you get his legs taken out. You know what I mean? You can hand him the ball inside and play, you know, power rushing offense, but only if he's 50, 60 yards away. If he's 120, 130, no, you don't.
Well, the funny part of this, Brian, is the number might seem silly, but it actually might dictate it, right? Like if he's in a very reasonable spot to get it, I don't know what that number is. What's a, like a small number, 40, 30, 50?
Probably that, but I think
they'll let him try.
I will say this to that. You can't go into a game planning and afraid that he's going to get hurt. That I don't think that's smart. If you're going to play.
He's going to have 350 carries. He's got 350 carries this year. If he gets hurt in the 10 carries, it might take him to break that record. The football gods are not on our side to win the Super Bowl this year, then. I'm sorry.
That's why I brought up with Jolly, like the Patriots had set in the undefeated season, right? They let Moss and Brady go for records in that final game.
Right. Yep.
Yeah, like,
yep.
And exactly. Look, they didn't win the Super Bowl, but I don't think they didn't win the Super Bowl because they tried that night. They just didn't win.
No, they just didn't win that game. Yeah. That didn't affect that. But it is all going to matter on what the metrics are as when that game comes, but. If the pace he's on now, if he played the same type of game, he's on pace to break the record. So,
well, he is. I mean, so, yeah, he's 607 yards away from breaking it, and he's got five games to go. So he's certainly there. Brian, we appreciate it. There is a world where he breaks it in the next four games and makes this easier on everyone, including Nick Sirianni, who's going to have a very difficult decision. It does feel like a lot for him to get it before the last game. So he would need, if my math is correct, over 150 yards per game the next four. That's a lot.
Yeah,
it is.
But it's one of those things where if you average it out correctly, you could potentially get maybe 200 yards this game. Maybe that'll help.
So the Panthers are the worst rush defense in the league. I think it's 166 per game. I mean, him getting 180 this weekend is not... I mean, that's not...
It's not far-fetched.
No,
It's not far-fetched.
It
could potentially happen. And I think that's kind of how you could look at it a little bit. But it's going to be a daunting task. And I think that the closer we get to the end of the season, I think it'll be easier to make this decision. Because there's another thing that comes into play, too. The teams that you're playing against, they are going to... they know that you're gunning for the record. And they're going to do everything in their power to make it even harder for you because they don't want to be a part of history in a negative way. I mean, there's a lot that plays into this. You know, we're going to do everything that we possibly can, but the unfortunate thing about it, nobody's going to lie down and let that happen.
No.
But like we've been talking about, nobody's been able to stop this running game yet. Nobody's been able to stop it yet. And the closer we get to it, the more and more it becomes a reality. I guess the more and more Saquon's going to get excited about it. He's going to be juiced this weekend because I'm pretty sure with all this talk about the record being broken, and I'm pretty sure some people have probably reached out to him and he's talked about it a lot, that it's starting. He's starting to feel a certain way about all of this.
Well, he is. And so I mentioned something with Jolly. I want to reiterate it in a different way. So Jolly said, and I think a lot of people probably believe this, that if you put it up to Saquon, he'd say it's okay, right? I care about the Super Bowl more than this. You don't have to play me. But what if Saquon finds out who his offensive linemen want this?
They do.
Right. So like, I'll use an analogy for the three of us here on the show. If there was some sort of record I could break, I don't think there's any sort of radio record, but like just play along, right? If I could break a record, I was like, it's not that big of a deal. But if I found out you, Hugh, and Kyle were like, let's do this together as a show, it'd make me want to do it more. I don't know. We keep saying Saquon doesn't want to do this. I don't know. If he finds out Lane Johnson and Jordan Mailata want to pave the way for the greatest rushing season ever, I think it's going to make him want to do it more for them. It's like it's not like in baseball when Mark McGwire broke the home run record or Barry Bonds. That was literally an individual.
Yeah.
The running game, Hugh, it is his record, but it's also their record. If they block for him, they're part of this. It's not all him.
Yeah, and I think that's what we're dealing with. Like I gave a story a couple weeks ago. We had Jordan Mailata on the show, and we were talking about, you know, the game and how it looked like he was ready to go if he was asked to play the next day.
Yep.
So yeah, there's something to that, man. There's a level of pride that goes along with this rushing title because it hasn't been done in a while. And I remember, like you like to point out all the time, how I was on the field when Barry ran for 2000.
He was like 40 yards away from me.
But man, when you talk about that, and I think about that, the way that offensive line was blocking, we bottled him up for the first half.
Why didn't you tackle him?
And then that second half, all I saw was the back of a Hall of Famer's jersey. Joe was like,
"Did you do anything for us?"
Hey, Kyle, there you go. He ran straight into the tunnel and off the field and never played another game.
Douglas is up and running.
But to be a part of that and to see as the game progressed, because if I'm not mistaken, we won that game. We didn't make it to the playoffs, but we won that game. But he got the rushing title. And it was like they won. You know what I mean?
Because they got him the record.
It was, man, it was different. You know, but that was a different time. It was that's not the Detroit Lions that's playing now.
Well, of course not, yeah.
And the unfortunate thing for Saquon is there's so much on the table that you're trying to reach for. You know, you're talking about playing for that title, which I'm pretty sure for him is very important. But at the same time, man, damn, history, like right here. Like to be, like individual history is like right there. And then, you know, okay, I want this Super Bowl too because I ain't really had too much success in the postseason. As a professional athlete, so that's tough.
Well, and it's also it could be a tiered thing. Like, let's say he breaks the record and then they win the Super Bowl. We could call this the greatest year of running backs ever had. Like to do that and win it, which is all.
I tell you,
it's all possible.
Perfect storm for him. He got to break this in 4 weeks, man. He got to
150 like that's a lot. Per?
If I'm Saquon, this is me channeling my inner Saquon. If it's me, I'm looking at that. Me personally, not what they're doing for all y'all sensitive individuals out there, but I'm like, damn, I got to get 200 this weekend. I got at least, like my goal would be 210, lead a game with 210. I'm trying to lead a game with 210. Every time they call my number, damn it, I'm trying to take it to the house. Every time.
If he gets 210 this weekend, Eric Dickerson should move over because he's going to not be the single season rush.
I'll tell you what, man. You know what? Since y'all done got me all juiced it up, I'm like, what's the over? Well, never mind. I'm getting ahead of myself.
Are we tearing? All brushing lines?
Hey, you saw me with my bent hair. Hey, you done got me all excited, Joe. I'm about to do something different.
All brushing lines up.
I got to see what they look like. First of all, Kyle, I want to be premature because last time I did this, I screwed everything up.
Yep.
So I'm
walk it back just a little bit. I got excited thinking about it. I'm going to walk it back just a little bit. We're going to do a little parlay later on. I'm just, you know.
Some of those alt rushing numbers are pretty big.
Ooh.
All right, Terrence in Springfield's up. What's up, Terrence?
You, Joe Kyle, what's up?
Hey, Terrence, what are you thinking, buddy?
Man, first of all, how much you on the Saquon thing, Joe? I feel like if this thing's in reach, man, and this is something magical, not only for Saquon, but for this offensive line, man. These offensive line have been dominant. They've been mauling people, man. And for them guys to go in there, like you said, he can go in there and get 200 yards this week against Carolina. We don't know what Saquon's mindset is because he's bound to break one every game. He has broken a long run, and that gives him about 80 yards right there just off that long run. So if he goes in and spazzes out for about 200 yards, man, I say go for it, man. At this point in the season, we got 5 games left. Man, the hell with the rest thing. We're in the mission right now. I want the Super Bowl, and I want Saquon to break that record, man. Hell, do both of them, man. Do your thing, man. At this point, you can't stop legacy, man. You can't stop what's destined for you as a player and as a team. You can't stop destiny. So go for it, man. If it's in the reach, Saquon, I don't care if it's 12 yards. I don't care if it's 60 yards, man. Go get that damn record, Saquon.
Go get it, Terrence. I think you framed it well. Go get it. Do it all. Terrence, we appreciate the call. Plus, I think we're missing something as a show.
What's that?
Well, I think there's something poetic. There's something poetic about two of our takes becoming all-time bad takes together in the same season. Like, think about
it. Who take was bad?
Well, just listen.
Yeah, just you two.
Okay, ready? How about how memorable this would be. In the same year I say Saquon Barkley won't be a difference maker in terms of wins and losses, he literally breaks the single-season rushing record, and they go win the Super Bowl, right? Mm-hmm. All-time dummy. Me. Also, the Eagles win it on the back of their defense, which obviously matters. All-time dummy, you. Like, we get to have a parade while we're the dumbest guys in the room. It's hilarious.
Can I retort now before Kyle jump in? Mm. My take wasn't bad.
Oh, come on. Ew.
My take was not bad. Ew. My take stood the test of
Allow
time.
Allow me to save you.
What? My take wasn't
Behind
bad.
Behind the coaching genius of Nick Sirianni, genius Kyle Quinn.
Oh, no, wow. No, look no, at no. this. Did you yeah, see how he spun
you
this?
You went too far.
No. Yeah. You want me to go too far? If they win the Super Bowl...
You know,
we do an early guess the take.
Oh no!
Nick Sirianni will be the greatest coach in Eagles history. Argue that.
Well, I will. I need a couple months to come up with some ammo against it.
First of all, if we had to tier the bad takes, that Saquon take top. That was number one.
It's not. I mean, you
Kyle's
said defense
take
doesn't matter.
Is a close second. My take stood the test of time.
What's my take?
It did not.
I promise you it did.
We had a football guy walk in here. I'm not going to say his name. A true football guy in the last segment said he listens to our show. He drives around a lot during the midday, listens to our show. And what was the first take he wanted to comment on?
He said the defense is not a luxury.
Yep.
Your take went into the wind as quickly as...
But I had this take a while ago, and this is the only time... This is why I feel strong in my conviction.
Oh, my goodness.
Stop.
Because... I've been here for, about 3 years now?
I think that's exaggeration.
And I dropped that take about 3 years ago.
You realize that makes it worse.
No, that makes it stand the test of time.
No, it doesn't.
And now,
just because
all of a
you
sudden,
won't give it up doesn't mean
no,
it stands the test of time. It's
of
aging
sudden,
like milk.
Because this defense is playing well now. Everybody want to run up on me and say, hey, you know what?
That's
and
not,
they
want to no,
yell at me and say mean and hurtful things. It's not about a luxury.
It's not about whether it's playing well or not. It's about whether it's needed to be a good football team.
In my mind, it makes me feel good.
Oh, the my mind thing?
Here.
This is like the my goat thing.
Yeah, but your take, though?
Hugh, when the Eagles were bad and the defense was bad, that's also meant it wasn't a luxury. Yeah,
no,
you do realize that, right?
No, it doesn't. It plays exactly into what I was talking about.
No, it absolutely
well,
does not.
Well, the team collapsed because of the offense last year. Wasn't
no!
The defense.
Excuse me. Filibuster Douglas
over
here. What
are you talking about? It was the offense.
I'm sorry. When did you get to Philly again?
No, I'm just saying. It was
the
offense.
What are you watching the games?
It is remarkable. This is ridiculous. Let's go to Rick, who's up next. A little some levity back to this nonsense. What's up, Rick?
Hey.
What's up, man?
Can you hear me?
Yes. We can, Rick. Yes.
Okay. First off, I don't agree with all that laying out stuff, you know?
What does that mean?
I thought I shut you off. I'm sorry. Anyhow.
This is a joke, quite frankly.
The way I see it this year, put your foot down and just don't let up.
So you wanted to score in the first quarter. You're with me.
I'm
laughing at your take.
No.
That's what he said.
No, I mean the whole the rest of the year, I want them to put their foot down and just, you know.
What is wrong with him?
Gone, man. Don't lay out. Every time I see him laying out, someone's. It just isn't the same. The teams don't play right when they. Half the guys are out.
Oh, I agree, Rick. There's no doubt about that. Rick, we appreciate it.
What was he talking about again?
I'm not sure about that one. That was...
Sound like a gummy.
That was a horrible call.
All right. Let's pivot from there to a little... Can we do a little Q&A on this Football Friday?
Yes, and Q&A is brought to you by the Jug Handle Inn. Award-winning wings, great food, and incredible specials. Like the Taco Tuesday, spread your wings and rediscover the jug.
Get to know the Midday Show. What? This is Q&A on 94 WIP.
All right, be honest, Hugh. Take me back to Hugh Douglas, the player.
Yes.
Was it hard sometimes, like on your best Eagles teams, right? Like 2001, 02. Was it hard to lock in late in the season against a tomato can? Like during the week, not when the game started. Was it hard to like get the full concentration when you knew it was the tomato can on the other side?
Well, it all depends. Well, I would say this, Joe. No, because it was kind of beat into our head. Don't overlook this team. Because it's always presented to you like you don't want to be the one thing you don't want to be is the team that loses to a bad team or overlooks a team. And for me, as a New York Jet, we were like 1-15.
You were the tomato can.
Yeah, man. And teams were like, that's why Ty Detmer said what he said. We'd be idiots to lose to the Jets. They're horrible. Like that. Basically, they were like, we're horrible. And I remember I took offense to that. And I tried to play spoiler on the season for the Eagles because they were trying to get a playoffs. I think they were like 9 and whatever they were, and they needed that win or whatever. And I remember trying to play spoiler because I felt slighted. Mm. And when you overlook teams, you know, this is bulletin board material. And we've seen it happen before. You've seen teams where they go in and they're the heavy favorites. Then all of a sudden they're on upset alert because they go in there and get punched in the mouth. And now you're like, oh, snap, they're playing above their state. We call it playing above their station. And you get caught in that buzzsaw and you can't rally the troops and try to get out of that. Once you're in it, it kind of has to play out because you weren't prepared to play. That's the thing that you try to guard against as a former player. Now, I totally get the side of it from the fans' perspective because you look at it and be like, oh, man, you look at the stat sheet. Look at the way they're playing. Look at the fact that they had a quarterback carousel early in the season. And you're like, oh, man, this should be an easy task. Don't look at it like that. And I know I said it tongue-in-cheek, but there are different things that people are motivated by. And he might be. You know, I don't know this for a fact, but he might be motivated by the fact that he look up in the stands and know his girlfriend set her tush in one of them seats with somebody that took her from him. So, and he might try to rally behind that.
So if Bryce plays well, we blame him, Maxie?
Yes.
All right. I just want to make sure we're on the same page of how we handle this. All right.